If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
For manifesting your divinity, your multidimensionality, having reference points for when you're in a state, in a frequency zone, in a dimensional outpicturing, how to stay in it, how to maintain it, how to shift it, how to play and dance within the dimensional overlays that we wonderful human instruments are designed to embody. We are multidimensional. That means we are capable of operating in every possible energy, frequency, consciousness, wavelength in the universe and beyond this universe such as we know it. We are the only creature in all of creation that can do that. No other race, no other species, so far as we know, according to Sai Baba, the human is the only one that can embrace fully and consciously as a free will choice, these higher levels of embodied awareness. This makes us extremely unique, extremely precious. We are literally, as the human membrane of consciousness, the human family of light, we are literally the host for multidimensional lords of light that send their consciousness streams, their rays of manifestation through us, and out into touching all of the kingdoms of nature. We are really the transduction devices for the divine plan to enfold and uplift all levels of life in all quadrants of this universe. And if that isn't special, I don't know what is. Having said all that, perhaps you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. So to begin with, I'm going to have us do an exercise, which is very important since we've had some very dramatic outpicturings on our planet. Before I do that, I would like to wish everyone in North America, at least, a very blessed and happy Thanksgiving. This is the day before Thanksgiving when those of us in North America celebrate the time that our first founding fathers of this country, with the help of a very kind Indian by the name of Squanto, survived a very severe winter, and as a result, there was a day in which they feasted and celebrated and thanked God for their survival. So that's the meaning behind Thanksgiving here in North America, or in America specifically. And I just wanted to mention that because it's important that we understand why we do things and the purpose behind them. Every day should be Thanksgiving in the sense that we live and breathe. We have eternal life. We are in a consciously unfolding, wonderful universe that's open-ended to ever more new creations and possibilities and manifestations. And that in itself is joy-provoking, at least it is for me. So we're going to be doing an exercise of service now. you may wonder why I always ask you to take a deep breath. And the reason being that that breath in you was breathed into you initially by the Creator. So that literally when you breathe, you are breathing God. You're breathing the breath of God, the breath of life. That life spark within you is the divine. And that is the spirit that we want to be inspired and inspirited with. So as we take a deep breath, bear in mind that you are breathing that same air that was breathed by Christ and Buddha and Krishna and all of the avatars and great men and women of all times, that we are co-sharing an experience in time and space that's not limited to time and space or even this world. You're breathing in infinity, the particles of the far-off worlds that are imbued with divine possibilities. So when you breathe, be conscious that you're taking in infinity, greatness, beauty, empowerment, and the divine. And use that energy to ride upward in your consciousness to wherever it is that you are intending to connect with. So let's take a deep breath. And lift, 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 rise, rise, rise. Lift your consciousness into the highest placement of awareness that you can possibly reach to. You can, as I said in the last show, you can reach into a globe of golden light above your head. You can intend that you're doing that if you don't visualize very well. But just know that when your intention is to connect with the highest part of yourself, it's done. Energy follows thought, and your intention is that God will inside your own willingness that enables you to do that. So again, let's do that. And lift, 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 as high as you can. Lift, 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 lift above your head. And integrate that highest level of consciousness that you can reach into. As you do that, you may find your body start to rock. Mine immediately starts to do that because I've had a bit of practice and some many years of doing this. You will notice a shift in your energy. Some of you may feel goose pimples that come down over your head or a sense of electricity coming through you. Some of you, the kundalini may start to jerk up through your body. There's different ways that we experience connecting. But it's a very wise practice that you always use this before you do anything. That way you know you're connected to the juice. Otherwise you get pot luck, and that's usually good luck. Or not. So anyway, now that we're in this higher consciousness, let's set our intention to connect with our brothers and sisters around the planet. You don't have to worry about where they are, because in soul, we're always here and now in one place. The only thing that looks like it's separated is the vehicles in time and space that we call physical bodies. But actually, we're not where our bodies are, but where our consciousness is focused. So as you intend to connect with your brothers and sisters, we are connecting as spirits, as souls, with a family of light, and as such we are tremendously powerful. So just know that you are connected, or you can envision your brothers and sisters. And tonight let's just be where we are in the room or the car, wherever we happen to be at this moment, or with our laptop in a train, wherever. And as we chant the hue, let us be open conduits for the highest good, so that the light of divine grace can flow through us, through our hands, through our intention, through our joint collaboration. And let's send the light to Bangladesh, to all the people who have suffered from this dreadful hurricane and its aftermath. And let us send it also to the areas on the planet where people are suffering from starvation and drought and disease. And wherever there is pain and hopelessness, let us be conduits of grace and hope and upliftment. And again, as we join intention, that's all you need to do. You are intending to be an open conduit. Don't try to direct energy. Don't force it. Just allow yourself to be an open sluice, as it were, an open channel for this energy to go forth. And we're going to be chanting hue. And Anihu. Perhaps if you prefer to chant Anihu, you can use that, alternating it with you. They both are the highest possible vibrations that we can utter, which denote God beyond the names and forms that we usually associate with God. Take a deep breath. Light for the highest good to all the people, wherever there is devastation, wherever there's earth changes, wherever there is despair. We, the united light workers of planet Earth, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. And just release it. It has gone, and it will continue to do the work that it is meant to do. This is something that you could do every day, actually, for yourself, your family, your loved ones, your nation, wherever you live, your peoples, your governments. We really need to be the conduits for grace to enter our world at this time. That's our responsibility as light bearers. So we're going to be looking tonight at where are you? Where can you be found? What's your place that you park your dimensional consciousness the most often? As I've said before, and I don't think you can say it too often, you are not where your body is. You are where your consciousness is focused. Case in point. You'll notice whenever anyone tells you a sad story from their past, they will begin to start to weep. Their voice gets real squeaky, and it's almost as if that person that was one moment here has suddenly totally reanimated a past scenario that was unpleasant. And invariably, their energy will droop and drop, and they will start to cry. That is because they have literally moved back, and they are present in that circumstance. That is why when you've had a bad experience in the past, and something, for example, where someone has hurt you and you have forgiven them, you can reactivate that karma in a nanosecond just by moving yourself back into that feeling and that situation and talking about it. That's why it's very important when you have problems or situations that are unpleasant, you don't keep chanting them, the litany of all the things that are wrong in your life to whoever will listen, because you're actually putting energy and coming into agreement and having other people come into agreement with your problem, which keeps it very solidly in place. So if you wonder how to shift out of those situations, end cycle on talking about them. Don't talk about them. Don't talk about the person that did you wrong. Don't think about them. Don't put any energy into them at all. They will atrophy and shrink if you withdraw your attention and your speech from negative problems and things that are in your life. Problems and negativity go with having a human body. We're living in a world that's predominantly negative in its polarization. We're in a world of duality where positive energy is actually recognized by the opposite. And in case you haven't noticed, this planet in its unawakened state is a mini-me run amok. It is a little ego out there, and it's just doing its shtick, and it's not really into love and light, in case you haven't noticed. It's a planet of let me get mine first before you get yours, and if possible, I'll get yours too. So the mini-me rules here until it has come to grace and salvation and has lifted into a higher choice and a higher consciousness. It is very selfish, and it's all about me, 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 me. What about me? What about me? It's also a planet where people project lack. I need, I lack, I want, I desire. It's the I wanna planet. So there again, we have to make a conscious choice to shift out of those levels if we're going to inherit everything that the divine plan has purposed for us to have. every one of us on planet Earth is the chosen one. We are the only and uniquely begotten sons and daughters of God, with whom he is well pleased, by the way. He saw the creation of man and saw it as very, very good. The rest of creation he saw as good, but man was very, very good. So good that he hid his own spark within each person's heart, because he knew that that would be a delightful treasure hunt for all of humanity and probably the last place they would ever think to look. And he's a God that likes to hide and play and enjoy and sport through his creation, her creation. So, again, you are God's dwelling place. He lives inside you. His Holy Spirit inhabits you. Now, that Holy Spirit can be asleep and dormant because you haven't activated and exercised it, or it can be absolutely the most outrageously empowered and impassioned presentation you can imagine. And you will know when a person is spirit-filled because they do the seemingly impossible with the greatest of ease. And they rise above limitations on a regular basis. But it's done through the power of the living God dwelling within them rather than yogic powers or psychic powers or manipulative powers, which are the powers of the lower electromagnetic fields of the human being, which they have a certain power too. But they don't have the power to transform and to bring in new life. They don't have the life everlasting and more abundant that the Christ referred to. And that's the level of empowerment that we're after. So how can you know which dimension you're living in? Well, let's put it that way. Unless you are completely at peace and completely full of joy, and that doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in your outer world, and you have no grievance, no areas that you need to address in terms of forgiveness or clearance or anything of that nature, you're just simply present as a loving expression. Until you're in that state, you're not in the level that we are headed to as a species that we call the fifth dimension, the kingdom of heaven, or Christ consciousness, there's many metaphors for this, or the ascension, or the rapture, or the liftoff, or the beam up, or whatever you want to call that shift that takes us from where we've been stuck into a higher perception of life. Now bear in mind that life itself, just the overall, everything that's happening in the world today is entirely neutral. In highest truth, it is simply a hologram for experiential awareness to be gained by souls that have embodied in human form. It has only the value you place on it. It has only the interpretation you place on it. Some people can look at the same thing, and one person will say, oh, that's wonderful, it's a miracle, it's of God. That same situation, another person could look at it and say, oh, it's evil, it's of the devil. And all the variations in between. So no matter what you're looking at, you'll always find somebody who has something to say against it or for it. So you have to decide for yourself what your values are, what those particular guiding principles that are important to you that you want to embrace of in your life, those things that you admire in people, those things that are your guiding light. You have to discern for yourself what those are. And make it very personal to you because it's your life and you need to make it work to its highest advantage for yourself. And if you do that and you're loyal to yourself, to your spirit, to your soul, to your highest objectives, you will be a transfer of blessing to your whole generation. Because we're never lifted alone, we're never healed alone, we're never saved alone, we're never empowered alone. We share a collective membrane of consciousness and energy, and everything is co-shared. So that 1,000, or what is it, 100 monkey effect, you know, where a certain percentage of monkeys got the idea of washing their bananas or whatever, transferred to all the other islands and all the other monkeys. In the same way, we have the same kind of situation going on where the more and more different possibilities are activated within the collective grid, the more we all have access to that same possibility. I think you've noticed that maybe in the Olympics, as soon as an Olympic runner, for example, breaks that barrier of speed or whatever it is, you will notice that then it's the ante is up to the next level and the next level and the next level. And that's true in sports, that's true in explorations in space, that's true at every level. It just takes one to open the door so that others can follow in the footsteps. This is why the Lord Jesus was the one who came from the highest throne worlds. They say he is the only one that came from the very, very highest heavens and opened that whole divine dimensional portal for all of mankind so that we could go into the highest God realms. We could ride that elevator. We could ride that current of energy right back home. We could follow in his footsteps. That's why he says, out of the higher consciousness, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what he was saying, he wasn't speaking as Jesus of Nazareth. He was speaking as the I am that I am, divine Christed presence. All masters speak out of that level when they're divinely realized. You will find you speak out of that level as well. In fact, we should all be able to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am eternal spirit. I remain as God created me. I am not a body. I am free. I remain as God created me. All of these wonderful statements, we can say and own them when we have realized who we are in the highest levels of our manifestation. So knowing that the benchmark for your fifth dimensional graduation is the love and peace of God, and when you're not in the love and peace of God, you are actually functioning at a level below which you were designed to function at. Most of you have already downloaded the software. You're good to go. You're ready to go. But most of you, and I think I don't err in generalizing here, most of you are not aware of how to activate and operate the software. You don't know all the capabilities that you have built into yourself and don't really know how to shift your consciousness when you're in different levels. So I'm going to start with the third dimension, which we can all be familiar with. In the third dimension, if you talk to most people in that state, they really identify with being a human being. And they really identify with themselves as their physical body. If you ask most people who they are, they'll give you their name. If you ask most people where they're from, they will give you a location. If you ask most people what they do, generally, in fact, sometimes even when you ask them, well, who are you? They'll say, well, I'm a plumber, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a whatever. I have very rarely, in fact, I'm trying to think if I have ever heard anyone say, I'm a divine incarnation, I'm here to love and serve, I'm here to manifest the kingdom of God upon earth, I am an expression of the throne worlds. You know, I've come as an ambassador from the higher divine realms. Usually people don't say that, do they? I remember I was in an interview with Sai Baba, and he turned and he looked at me very sharply one day, and he said, where have you come from? And I was on my game that day, and I turned to him, and with all seriousness, I said, I have come from you, my Lord. He laughed, you know, he just threw back his head and he laughed. He was delighted. I hope he wasn't making fun of me. I don't think he was. But he was laughing with delight and then pointing me out as an object to the various Indians that were sitting around me who hadn't said that when he asked them who they were. Most of them gave their names or said they were from New Delhi or Bombay or whatever. But I always remembered that because at that moment that was entirely the truth. I truly identified with having emanated from him and seeing him as a divine incarnation. That's what I was referring to. So we do have those moments when we're in the presence of greatly enlightened beings that are operating out of that consciousness and out of that worldview that we can more easily remember who we are. But at some point, we're going to need to self-feed, self-activate, and self-quicken and stir up that divine remembrance. I was remembering on my home planet, Venus, my place of more recent planetary origin. I was came here consciously as a spirit, although I am inhabiting an earth body, which is also an aspect of myself. In those worlds, in those other planetary worlds, at least the ones I've been in, children grow up knowing that they are divine. This is not something that you're not told that you've evolved from apes, or, you know, you're a happenstance of a Big Bang, or a whatever, you know, whatever crazy thing people concoct nowadays. You're actually told who you are, what you are, where you've come from, and your purpose. So this is part of your upbringing. Because of that, we don't have any religion. We don't have any religion, and we don't have any science such as you know it. We have an understanding of light and sound and vibration and wavelength and frequency and consciousness that is all woven into our, what you might say, our way of life, which is intensely spiritual. It's spiritual, but it's spirit and science woven together as a way of life and as an outpicturing within our cultures. All planets, as far as I'm aware of, have hollow interiors with an internal sun and life that is lived in the inner core of that planetary system. I should say the inner shell, because the very, very core is actually molten. But in terms of the inner shell, about 200 miles below the surface, you come into the what's called the Agartha community. The Agartha community, at last count, has about 278 inner world cities. And I have a very, very dear friend by the name of Sharula, who was born under Mount Shasta in Telos, which is a community there of about 1.5 million inhabitants. And I have been in that community in my spiritual body many, many times. In fact, Sharula said that I originally, very recently, had an embodiment in that community and am related to her. And we met about 20 years ago and became very dear friends, and I've lived with her and her family off and on. And I met her cousin, who's also from Telos. And in the 80s, they used to come to my Wednesday night classes in Hollywood called Starseed Sessions. And I would pack my one-bedroom apartment with all of these people, and among them, there was Shield and Sharula. Shield became her her husband, her twin flame. And anyway, they've been good friends of mine. And I've had an opportunity to hear her speak upon a number of occasions about Telos and Agartha, the Agartian community, and the inner world inhabitants. And they have been able to maintain those otherworldly lifestyles and teachings that they are taught in their inner worlds, called the Melchizedek teachings. Her master is the high priest of the temple of Melchizedek in Telos. His name is Adama. I have met him. He's a delightful being. And in fact, I often meet Ashtar in Telos, because we also have a space port there and a base where sometimes the shuttlecraft will land, and I'm able to meet with Ashtar and go back to our motherships periodically. And mind you, this is in my soul body. I have only been beamed up to my knowledge one time, actually, physically. And that was a wonderful experience, as I recounted on one of my previous shows. But all of us have the ability to travel in the soul body to Shambhala. In fact, Telos is called Shambhala the Lesser. And then you have Shambhala the Greater, which is located in the Himalayan mountains in physical etheric matter. It's located at about 17,500 feet. And yes, if you have a call to go there, you can indeed see it. Earlene Chaney of Astara was taken into Telos. I've been taken into Telos. There are many people who have recounted their stories of being taken into Telos. And I've also gone into Shambhala, Shambhala the Greater in the Himalayas many, many times. And also was very close with the Rorik family, Nicholas and Helena Rorik, their son, Svetoslav Rorik, and his wife, Devika Rani, who was the first lady of Indian screen. They were friends of mine for 22 years. And I had many wonderful experiences with them on the inner plains and going into Shambhala. And, of course, their family, Nicholas and Helena Rorik, they lived in the Kulu Valley up in the Himalayas, and the masters of the Great White Lodge used to come, and Master Moria in particular, who was their master, their personal master, he used to come and have tea with them in their home in Kulu Valley. So these are real things. These are not airy-fairy or woo-woo or fantasy or anything of that nature. There are actually people on the planet today who have direct access to the masters of the Great White Lodge. Generally, you will not have contact with them physically unless there's a very good reason for it. The law of economy prevails throughout the hierarchy. The masters will generally work with souls who are of a higher level of initiation or masters themselves. And then the disciples of the masters are generally the ones that work with the masses of humanity or the neophytes on the spiritual path. But we have a complete right and access to go into these inner worlds and into these other planetary schools and to visit the inhabitants where we have prepared ourselves to do so. You might ask, well, how do we prepare ourselves? Well, we need to get over being so egocentric. We really need to be people who are living for God and for the service of humanity. And if you live for the service of humanity, you are living for God, because God dwells in everything that exists, but particularly has installed himself in his living spirit within the human being. So if you love God, you will love your fellow man. And if you want to serve God, God doesn't need your service, but his many, many forms in time and space do. So that is where we are to place our attention. When you have an intent towards service of your fellow man, you automatically have an open sesame to the higher worlds and to the higher beings who inhabit these worlds. Now, when you're in a third dimensional state of consciousness, you don't have access to doodly squat. You really don't. You really, the average human being, I'm surprised, even light workers, will get so stuck in their gerbil cage existence of going to work and spending their money and then going to work so they can have some more money and they can spend it some more so they can go to work. And very few people prioritize moving themselves in consciousness and in spirit. Very few people do. I don't know why that is. I have been hungry for God since this body was 5 years old. I have been constantly studying and learning and seeking out the things that I could participate in to be part of the divine plan. Well, perhaps I'm a very old soul. I guess I am. But I'm also speaking to souls out there who might also be very old souls. But maybe no one has told you that life is not about survival. It's not about having momentary pleasure. It's not about the karma dramas that drive and fuel most people's lives. It's about becoming a master, fully functional, fully proactive and creative, on not just this level, but on all levels. And as we master one level, then obviously we graduate to the next. So humanity as a whole is in the process of being tested so that hopefully it can graduate to at least the fourth dimensional version of the Earth, because the Earth, again, has a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh level of manifestation. But I wonder how they're going to be able to do it, given where they place the majority of their energy and their focus. Most people are into survival or maintaining what they have struggled and worked to create. I'm going to suggest right now that all of you need to really practice time management. I, like you, was married, had children, raised kids. I was also a single mom. I was also the breadwinner for a family when I was a single mom. And yet I always found time for God. If I had to get up 2 hours early and sacrifice some sleep, I did that. But I always meditated. I always studied. I always practiced my spiritual path. On the job, off the job, coming and going in work. When you're in freeways, like here in Los Angeles, you have to factor in at least 2 hours a day of commute time. Sometimes 4 hours a day you are commuting to get to and from your work, and some people it's even more than that. You can use that time to do affirmations, to listen to learning tapes, to listen to beautiful music that inspires and uplifts you, to pray out loud, to do your mantra, to chant Hue. You can do so many things instead of wasting your time complaining about the traffic. You can use those moments when you're standing in line at the bank. You can send the light to the people around you. You can talk to the people around you. You can just be the peace and love of God and radiate that to the people around you. Every moment you can utilize as a spiritual yoga. Yoga means to be in union with or yoked with. You can be yoked with your spiritual path and with God at each moment. But you need to really be aware that you've got to manage that time. Another thing, which is actually a biblical law for health, is to take a full day of rest. It doesn't have to necessarily be Sunday. It can be any day, but you need to take a Sabbath, which is a day of full rest where you do not do any of your usual customary worldly things. You could study, you could watch spiritual programs and CD, DVDs, you could meditate, you could do all of those things, but let it be a day in which you rest from the world and you dine on the things of God specifically. They say, quote, quote, if you do that, your body is fully restored through grace on that one day and you will have good health. Why in the world do we have such, particularly in America, we have such poor health and we have access to all of this spiritual teaching? We have all of this truth. We have all of these things available to us. Why don't we utilize what we have at hand and have better health? It's because perhaps we're just inundated with so much that we don't know what choices to make. Well, it's better to make some choice than none at all. I hope in these programs to share with you the many, many avenues of pursuit and consciousness study that I have spent my life pursuing and exploring. I have a lot of resources I can share with you, and perhaps and hopefully there will be something that will be useful to you and it will save you time and perhaps really move you into that Christed state that is my great desire to activate and quicken and inspire and encourage. So the third dimension is where your whole life is involved in your physical body and its preoccupations, its needs, its health, its preservation, its survival, its comfort, its entertaining. It's all about body. And that is something that we need to transcend. So how would we do it? Well, we could use the exercise I just gave of reminding yourself to lift whenever you get too hunkered down. Remind yourself to lift into your higher consciousness. And you're going to need to invest time, energy, money, and focus into your spiritual life. That means you need to read books, watch DVDs, keep your time on the computer proactive in the sense of feeding yourself with information that will broaden your understanding of life, what it's all about, who you are. You may need to hop on a plane and go spend some time in an ashram in India, spend time with Sai Baba, some of the other great souls in India, particularly Sai Baba. You're going to need to do that. You're going to need to get into fellowship in community and communion with other people who are spiritually inquisitive and learning and growing and have higher values than just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's an animal's life. That doesn't make you even a human being. That makes you living a subhuman life if that's all you're doing. The human being, according to Sai Baba, is designed to know God. And to be God, up to 85%, we are capable of manifesting, Sai Baba said, 85% divinity. Animals are only capable of 15% manifestation of the divine. But humanity alone, can choose to live a divine life. We know in quantum mechanics that we live in a world of coruscating energies that are unlimited in potential unfoldings and possibilities. We have all these multiple choices, and we can choose the high road, the low road, or any road in between. But the road that I'm talking about is that very narrow, narrow path. And it is the path that few people find, and that is the path to life. And then there's a broad way that leads to where most people are going, which is ignorance, darkness, and basically a return to this planet in one form or another. So the third dimension is transcended whenever you go against the common indoctrinations, I would say. In fact, I've often said, if everybody in the world is doing it, you do just the opposite, and you'll probably be living a divine life. If everybody believes something, try another approach. If everybody says this is the way to go, look at it again. Because the truth has always been for the few. Most of the people in the world prefer darkness, and they actually hate the truth. They kill the prophets. They murder the saviors. They give gurus and enlightened people problems and persecution. They try to shut up the truth in every way they possibly can. Or if they can't shut it up, they corrupt it or water it down to where it no longer has any impact at all. And people go to sleep and are bored to death when they go to church or wherever it is they go, because the truth has been watered down to where there's no more any truth there. There's just people's imagination, doctrines, dogmas, and fantasies. And it's these things that I would like us to be able to avoid and become wise as serpents, as gentle as doves. And in the sense of the wisdom I'm speaking of the activation of that inner awareness, which in the yogic tradition is called the activating of the kundalini, which is activated by humanity's effort, their self-effort, and that effort to strive to know the self, to strive to adhere to the truth as you have perceived it. None of us have all the truth. None of us have all the answers, but we all have some truth, some understanding, some answers, and we've all found some things that work, and we've all found some things that don't work. So in that sense, we're all teachers, and we're all students, and we're all in exactly the same boat, because we're all going to exactly towards the same divine objective, which is full ascended conscious mastery. And that is the overall destination point for all human beings. All of you have been saved through grace, although all of you may not be aware that you have salvation through grace. All of you may not be aware that you have a divine inheritance. And if you're not aware that you're saved through grace, if you're not aware that you have a divine inheritance, how in the world are you going to claim it? And if people don't speak the truth, how in the world are you going to know it? Well, I stand here to tell you that you have already been lifted beyond the clutches of the dark forces that have tried to ensnare you on this planet 2,000 years ago by the act of Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. That was his job assignment, to pay the price to rescue you from the clutches of the dark forces that had sought to enslave humanity. Now, whether you want to call them draconians or reptilians or greys or Nephilim or fallen ones or whatever, the point of it is that humanity was locked into a quarantine situation where the only thing that mankind could do was recycle constantly back onto this planet. and everything you did created karma, so there was no way that you could get free. So Jesus changed that all when he came in and offered his own life on the cross to reverse the codes of limitation. He resurrected his body to overcome the curse of death, which came in with the fall, and to purchase humanity back for the kingdom of God. Jesus only preached one thing. He preached the kingdom of heaven, the restoration of the divine throne world's kingdom domain here on earth. And the other thing he did was heal everyone. Everyone that came anywhere close to him. If they were dead, they had to resurrect. If they were sick, they were instantly healed. If they were blind, they had to see. If they were deaf, they had to hear. Wherever he went, if they were demon-possessed, they were set free. And then when he left, through the resurrection, through the ascension, he resurrected his body, thus overcoming death, and he ascended. His physical body ascended, according to Sai Baba, not a spiritual body. His physical body was reanimated and ascended, resurrected and ascended. He then sent his own Holy Spirit to indwell his disciples, and through his disciples to go forth and make everyone else aware that they also had that same ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to receive the gift of salvation. Actually, I put that the other way around, to receive the gift of freedom and salvation, and to then be filled with the power of the living Spirit. So it's through that and through knowing about that that you're set free and that you're given the one power drive that will enable you to live a Christ-like life, which is the power of the Holy Spirit being quickened within you. It's as simple as receiving and asking. There isn't any ritual. You don't have to pay any money. It doesn't cost you anything but everything. Yeah, it costs you everything. It costs you laying down your limited life so that you can receive everything that the divine plan has purposed for you to receive. And when you do that, you are literally, you literally come into a new activation of who and what you are. You are quickened and activated. It's like suddenly the light switch and the energy switch was thrown on and all that voltage begins to flow through you. And then you learn how to manage it, how to direct it correctly, how to operate within the gifts. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, those divine gifts are quickened within you, which have to do with the activation of the light body. If you want to read about it, you can read the book of Acts in the Bible, and it will tell you the story of how the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles and what happened. But it describes a flame of fire that was seen over their heads, and that's the activation of the Avan Chittaya, that divine rock of salvation, which is the eighth chakra, the eighth template that I spoke of in one of our previous shows, which is the rallying point for all of the energies that have been brought through the seven chakras and brought through the cleansing and the purificatory process, the redemptive process. And they are focalized in the eighth chakra, which then becomes the access point for the Christ oversoul to begin to integrate and begin to fill your life. Your light bodies then are fully activated. And then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then and only then can you have access to the multidimensional consciousness without going bonkers. We're just not able to access the multidimensional states until we are infused with light in all of our chakras and our light bodies are fully activated. So if you're not accessing higher dimensions of consciousness, then that's where your work is cut out for you. And there's plenty of information out there on how to do the things I'm talking about so that you can self-feed. If you need to know something and you ask to be shown and guided and led, you will be led. You will be shown. You will be guided. I know. I was. Everyone is. Everyone has an appointment with destiny. And that destiny has to do with something that God has purposed for you in the highest levels before you were even knit together in your mother's womb. There was a divine plan for you. At the same time, there was a divine plan for you. When you come into the lower worlds, you also have the enemies of that divine plan that come in to try to, like in a football game, they're designed to block, tackle, grab you around the knees, bring you down, help you to trip up, bar your way, try to keep you from reaching that goal. And they will do that through distracting you through drugs or addictive patterns or all the things that pull you down to the depths. That's part of the negative agenda. That's the agenda against the sons and daughters of God that come here to bring in the higher energies. There's that block and tackle team that are out there to make sure you don't get to the goal. And so the game of life requires you to be a spiritual warrior and to begin to, put on those shoulder pads and those knee pads and that helmet and get in there and pitch, you know, just, you know, butt heads, do whatever you have to do, but make sure you find that open space and you go for that goal with all you've got. And you've got the winds of the universe is behind you and the winds of heaven, the grace of God on you to succeed. But it is a battle down here. You have to be very wise and wary what you do, where you put your energy, where you place your focus, because the negative opponent is, this is its turf, this is its realm, and it knows how to operate really well in it. And it knows you, most cases, better than you know yourself. So that's why you have to depend upon a higher power. You have to depend upon the grace of God, which is unmerited favor, to bridge you where you fall short. But every time you fall down and every time you get up and say, you know what, I fell down, but I'm getting up and I'm not where I was and I'm on my way to where I need to be. And you just never give up. You just never give up. You keep pitching, you keep extending and expanding and exploring and trying this and trying that. So as perhaps an exercise you might want to consider doing as you journal this coming week, you might want to look at where are you? Where are you placing the emphasis of your thoughts, your emotions, your life, your actions? Where are you? Where do you live? Are you living in just an ordinary human life, hoping that, you know, Asher is going to beam you up or suddenly the earth's going to tip on its axis and you're going to get to go to another better place? I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. You're always going to be here and now, wherever you are, and you're always going to be what you are and who you are until you choose to be something beyond that. And it's not done unto us in the sense nobody lays their divine trip on you. You have to choose into it. You've been chosen already. You have to choose back. But it is in the energy fields, it is done unto you according to your belief. And what you say out of your mouth becomes the law that then comes back to rest in your life. So, for example, if you're a person that many people I hear say around this time of the year, oh, I always get the flu. Guess what? You've just laid a law into your life, into effect, that at certain seasons you always get the flu. What nonsense. Why in the world would you want to create that for yourself? You think people have to get the flu? You know where the flu comes from? Flus and colds come from mental confusion, worry, and stress. Guess why the average human being has so much flu and colds? It's an astral disease, and it's caught astrally. What do I mean by that? Well, just go into a room where someone is really pissed off, angry, and irritated. That energy can absolutely infect and spoil the mood of everybody in that room, can it? Now take a light worker. Walk into the same room. You're full of love and light and joy and peace. And pretty soon, even if there's been negativity in that room, the power of your light will begin to absorb, transmute, and you become the bridge over troubled waters. So moods are caught. Astral energies, which are your emotional energies, are caught. Belief systems are caught. You sit with people and hear enough of the same old thing over and over again, and pretty soon you begin to believe it. The old saying is that if you even hear a lie often enough, it will begin to sound plausible to you and you will start to believe it. And there you have the basis of brainwashing. So it's very, very important that you take charge and dominion over what you allow to go into your mind, into your stomach, into your ears, and into your life and your living space. That's the only time that it's really good to be self-ish. And I say self-ish with a capital S because the self we want to be ish about is our divine self, the Ishvara, which is the Sanskrit word for the divine self. So I hope that this will give you a little bit of reference points of the third dimension, because all you have to do is turn on the news and look out in the world and talk to the people usually that are around you, and you'll get a good example of people who are generally stuck in the third dimension. To get out of that, as I said before, you're going to need to prioritize spending time in study, in spending time with people who are in a common spiritual thrust with similar values, similar aspirations, and similar goals. And in doing that, you will begin to shift the vibrations immediately. I'm going to give you a little exercise now on how to move your inner awareness through soul travel. Just imagine that you are walking down the street in Bombay, India, and you're smelling the spice merchants and the incense merchants, and you're seeing the mahout with his elephant trudging in the mud, and you're seeing people who are dressed in beautiful colored saris, and you're hearing the ringing of and honking of the horns of the auto rickshaws, and you're hearing the hawkers hawking their wares. And you're smelling the smell of India, which is a combination of spice and incense and cow dung. Sounds awful, but actually it's wonderful. India smells divine. And you just had an experience of soul travel. You were there, weren't you? I sure was. My gosh, I'm still smelling it. That's all it takes to move your inner awareness from one state to another. You are where your consciousness is, not where your body is. So I suggest that you create a portable paradise that you carry within you. And that portable paradise you can access anytime you want to. Just create an inner scenery, an inner place to be with your own beloved, with the Lord, and within your own heart and your own divine citadel. That will begin your first shifting out of the third dimension. And we can continue this on another show as we move into the other dimensions, begin to look at them and examine how they function and what are some of the characteristics of the different dimensions. Again, the time runs by so fast, I can hardly believe it. I got 3 minutes before the show is ending. And I always have so much more I want to share than what I have time to share. But hey, you know what? This is a weekly seminar with the Ashtar Command. We have it each week now. And this is an hour in which you can learn and study and be trained in your multidimensional awareness. And I don't know, but perhaps this is the first time this sort of thing has ever been done by the Ashtar Command. I think it is. I don't know that it's ever been done before. So you are participating in something that's historical in terms of the Ashtar Command and its ground fleet. And I think a very practical way of sharing our message with as many people as possible across the planet. Again, a very, very blessed day of gratitude and thanksgiving to those of you in America and those of you throughout the world. Start your day with praise, with thanking God for the gift of life. And if you have food in your tummy, praise the Lord, because there are people on the planet that don't. If you have a home and a roof over your head, praise the Lord, because there's an awful lot of people who don't. So there's always people in worse conditions that we are in. But overall, we will have had all experiences eventually as souls. So this time it's some people's experience to go through these things. And in the past, no doubt, you've had these experiences yourself. So we reach out and we send the light and the blessings to all people throughout the world. And we're going to close with a chant. And this is in Sanskrit. And it means, may all the worlds be happy. May all the people be happy. Om, peace, peace, peace. Loka samasta sukino bhavantu. Sarve jana sukino bhavantu. Om, shanti, shanti, shanti. And blessings and love to all of you from all of us. And we're going to be celebrating on the command ships tonight, so why don't you come up and join us? Blessings.